stories at Town
Hall. Your own business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, State of Jefferson. I hope everybody out there is having themselves a decent Sunday morning. A little bit warm and temperature going up. We are in the dead of summer here in Jefferson, and those dog days of summer, as they call them. So, I am here. I am your host, Red Smith, the bear. My co-host, Wynn, is running just a tad late this morning. We do forgive him and give him, he has good excuses. So, today, for those of you that are listening, trying to get us on live stream or the chat room, we are having a little bit of difficulty with the equipment here in the studio at the moment. We're trying to get that back up and going for everybody. We hopefully have the problem resolved, and we're working on it. For those of you that are catching us on the air, well, good morning, and thank you for tuning in and listening. Today we got a pretty good show, talking about the different things that are going on with Jefferson, talking about the second assembly meeting that's coming up here in October. We've got a couple of people to talk about the financials today. We've got special guests to discuss some of the things about the assembly and the committees and some different things that are going on. So we have got quite a bit of a show for you, so we're going to get diving right into it. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about today is, as you guys know, but one of our favorite subjects to harp on is California and the reasons that we need to get away from the state of California and have our own state. And it is ever more evident every day as Sacramento passes law after law, and as they're coming to the close of another legislative assembly session, some of the things that they're trying to sneak in at the end and some of the things that are going on that we're keeping a close eye on. Every day, California is taking a little bit more away and a little bit more away. And we got our hands on an assessment of Prop 57. And this is from a local district attorney. And what Prop 57 is looking to do and the different things. And in the expedience of time, we're not going to dive into it too much today, but it is important enough that wanted to bring it up and make people aware of it. And you need to be looking at Prop 57, because this could be releasing as many as 47,000 prisoners in the state of California. And we're not talking minor criminals, which is about everybody according to the state of California today. We're talking about, they are removing the violent felony label from rapists, bombers, arsonists, strong arm robbery. There is a whole list of things that is no longer going to be considered a violent felony in the state of California. Rape against an unconscious individual, things like creation or use of an explosive device or flammable device with intent to cause bodily harm, use of a deadly weapon against a peace officer or firefighter is no longer going to be a violent felony. It seems to be that California's solution to crime is just to make everything not a crime anymore. And we're looking at some of the other things that's going on in California that's allowing the federal dollars to be the tail that wags the dog in a lot of ways. We're watching our police forces in California as they're being overwhelmed by this crush and crime that our legislature and governor are enabling and pushing off onto our local communities that are completely unable to take care of it. We don't have the resources. We don't have the police officers. We don't have time to ramp up for this. We don't have the budget to deal with the time bomb that this proposition is going to be. We've already been suffering the hits of AB 109 and was Prop 47 and the other things that are going on. We're already taxed beyond our limits, and now they're going to hit us with this. And I believe the intention of California is to push it so bad that the citizens of California themselves start screaming for federal intervention in their state because of the crime and the different things that are going on. And the day that that happens, that we open that Pandora's box, that door to the federal government, you might as well kiss California and its sovereignty, what little bit we have left, gone. That will be the effective end of California, is the day that we demand or, you know, scream that the federal government should be taking control of our police forces because we can no longer handle our crime rate. It's being engineered, it's being planned, it's being implemented, and we can't keep our eyes off of it. I mean, we can't take our eyes off of that. We need to know that it's out there, and we need to be finding solutions for that. And it's as desperately as we need the state of Jefferson, we're also running out of time on some of these things, ladies and gentlemen. We can't be dragging our feet. We can't be tiptoeing through the tulips. We need to get this done. We need to get it done as soon as possible, because every day California is breaking more and more that needs to be fixed, that'll need to be rectified. And there is a point that it's broken, that it's you might as well just kind of pack up, go have a beer on the beach, and, you know, what's that song, Swim Out Past the Breakers and Watch the World Die? And, you know, that time is approaching as well, and especially with the things that are going on. So be aware of that. We are going to be discussing some of the financials and things there today, but I wanted to make sure that everybody's getting a good long look at Prop 57 and look at what's really behind that and what's going on. So with that, we will see you on the other side of this break here. And if you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 530-605-4567. Thank you.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday 9 a.m. to noon.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just gray houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Reading City Councilman Gary Cadd, who's running for re-election. Let's find out how the re-election campaign's going, what his initiatives are for unfunded liabilities, crime, drugs, and more. We'll also discuss the Olympics and, of course, what's happening in the presidential races. All of this Monday right here at Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the east side.
Moving on up.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky. Moving on up.
Moving on up.
To the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. A beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying. Just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big league. Getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh, yeah, we're moving on up.
Well, welcome back, State of Jefferson. As we said, we were going to be digging into the financials. We've got Richard Seal on the line. Richard, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh. All right, good morning, sir. And
thank you
for joining us. Before we get dug in with you on the financials and things, though, we do have a special guest in the studio today, Steve Baird's lovely wife, Diana Baird. And she's got a couple of things to go over for our upcoming assembly and for some of our committees. So we're going to grab her a couple of minutes to get that done, and then we'll dive in with you. Okay, Richard?
That's fine.
All right, thanks.
Good morning, Diana.
Good morning, Richard.
The floor is yours.
Well, good morning out there, everybody, and all you Jeffersonians who are listening to the show. I just wanted to stop in and mention the progress that we've had with the first assembly for the formation of the State of Jefferson. It's been a couple weeks now. We went into that meeting as counties, and we left as a state, and we are forming that state through the committees that we created. And what I'd like to share is those committees, they are well-staffed. We have quite a few committees that have already begun the work in order to begin the formation. And so what I'd like to see happen is that they continue the work. They created the committee. They now need to run those committees. And then when we come back in our October meeting, we want to hear what those committees progress was.
What kind of input have you had from them so far?
I've received requests for helping them get that along. But my thought process is, well, you created it.
Yep.
You joined it. You need to make it happen.
And that's interesting.
We're sharing the work.
Yes.
And that's what's great about all this is I don't have to do it all myself. You don't have to do all yourself. Red, anybody
exactly.
else has been doing all this. We're not alone anymore. So it's wonderful to be able to share those responsibilities.
That's right.
It is, and it's, you know, and we're certainly available to for help, for guidance, or if somebody kind of needs an idea of, you know, how do I deal with this, resolve that, but for the most part, you know, it's the watching these people begin to understand that, hey, you're enabled to do this. This is not California. This is not somebody telling you how it's going to be. It's you deciding what it's going to be. You and your neighbor and your other neighbors and your county neighbors and your state neighbors sitting down and going, hey, what works for us? The way the representative government is supposed to be. And it takes people a little bit of time to kind of break out of that mindset. But it's exciting to watch them do it.
Taking ownership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And I think another role that we might have is to recognize maybe some similarities between committees.
Right.
And maybe put them in contact with the other committees so that they can compare notes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's I think we've all kind of see a process of expansion and contraction, and you know, as we find out the things that we do need, do we need both of these committees? Are they all doing the same job? Do we need to maybe split this committee in two because they're going in two different directions? I mean, I think that'll be a very natural evolution of this thing as we're as we're going on.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's exciting stuff, and you know, October is going to help to firm that up and, you know, get some of the things going. Then we've got the Legislative Assembly going that's actually going to be the de facto decision maker for the State of Jefferson, that's going to be comprised of the representatives from the different counties that are elected. And it's going to be kind of exciting to watch this progress.
Yes. Well, and so you're having good works with these people coming on board and doing everything that they're doing, right?
I'm trying to connect them as they come to me. And that's why it's really good to have a mission statement you know, based on what your committee is. What is your purpose? What is your SMART goal? Mm-hmm. And as soon as these committees can identify that, then they have a direction to go. Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Exactly.
And we need these committees to step up. We need a point lead to step up and say, okay, this is the direction. I think that we're all in agreement, or at least the majority of the people are in agreement in the group, and to move forward with that. What I'm asking for is a mission statement to put on the website.
Right.
So that some of the people who didn't have an opportunity to sign into a committee, mm-hmm. that they know which committee they want to jump into. There was a lot of activity going on.
Yes, there was.
And that's, I know, for an example, I took one email, and it was somebody from public safety going, well, what is this committee and what does it do? And I said, well, what did you think it did when you put your name on it? You know, when you said, hey, I want to be part of the public safety committee, what did you think it did? Oh, well, I thought it was going to be about this and about that and about this. And I said, there you go. That's what it's about.
There you go.
Because it's your job to take that, what you thought it was, when you put down the name Public Safety Committee, or you put your name under it, whatever you thought you were getting into really should be what you're getting into, because you are the people that are forming that.
Right.
And it is kind of a free-for-all. And, yes, we're going to have to fill in some gaps. Yes, we'll eliminate some overlap and things like that. But it is what you want it to be at this point.
And that's the beauty of it. It's the very beginning of the beginning. And people are used to having rules and format that they have to follow. And that's not there. They're creating all of that. And that's what they're trying to – now they're wrapping their head around it. They're finally starting to get it.
Well, there is a rule book. It's called the Constitution.
The Constitution.
Of the United States of America.
That's it.
Outside of that, hey, have at it.
There you go. Yep.
Well, you know, we all started in the nest, right? And we've all jumped out of the nest, and we need to find those wings and fly.
Yep.
Yeah. Or be like me, you know, hit every branch on the way down and land on your head, but you'll get there.
You'll get there.
So, but, right. Yeah, did you have anything else for us?
Well, I think we have a date coming up for the second assembly, and so if we would just want to say that.
Sure. That's October 16th. It's a Sunday, and it'll be here in Shasta County.
Yeah, and the first person I hear say, well, it's football, we're going to have a problem. I understand. It's the first time in like 400 years my Raiders have been good, so I know what it is to give up a Sunday, but I don't want to hear it.
Oh, they'll be out by then.
I know.
There's more Sundays.
There are more Sundays, and there are more important things than football.
Yeah.
Even when there's not a Jefferson meeting, so get over yourself.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right.
Well, thank you, Diana. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Alrighty, Richard, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, where do you want to start in this morning?
Did you get the people to load up the spreadsheet that Steve Baird prepared on the internet?
We are having difficulties ourselves with our computers and stuff like that. So no, I have not been able to get that out there onto the chat room.
Can I take a few moments and explain to the people how they can go ahead if they want?
Certainly.
Okay. If you're listening and you have a computer and you can sit in front of it and then listen to the program with your radio, go to soj51.net. Just load it up. It'll take a few seconds or so. And then you'll see on the toolbar, the green toolbar at the top of the page, you'll see at the fourth or fifth tab from the left is a tab called Finances. And you want to bring that up if you can. Once you brought that up, depending on whether you have Windows 8 or Windows 10, Windows 10 will have a little file at the bottom of your screen that you click, and then that spreadsheet will open up. If you have Windows 8, it may just automatically open up. But you have to go, when you go to that page, what happens when you hit Finances is that there's a two or three paragraphs, and the second paragraph says Jefferson Viability Model, New July 2016 with IRS and Franchise Tax Board. You want to click on that. And that should bring up the file under Windows 10. Under Windows 8, if you just click on that, it just may be to bring the file up automatically. But on Windows 10, you have to click the button or the file tab at the bottom, and then that will load it. So those are just a few instructions. Probably some of you didn't get them all. That's fine. I'm going to give it to you in baby talk so you understand. My inspiration for all this was Steve Baird. So Diana's been there, and if she's still listening, probably she can correct me if I'm wrong. But there are five sources of revenue for every county in California. There's property tax, there's state and federal income tax, there's sales tax, and there's gas tax or fuel tax. These sources are what are given to the counties every year to help them do their budgets. And in varying degrees, they either are enough money or not enough, and we'll explain that a little bit as we go along. The real issue comes down that, like with property tax, and I'm going to be giving you some averages that I got from Steve some time ago, and these numbers can change over time. When you pay your 1% of your property tax, state of California roughly allows the counties to keep about 60% of it, but they skim off the top about 40%. State of Jefferson wants 100% of your property tax to stay in your county for whatever your county needs to do. State income tax, currently the state of California is distributing approximately 75%. State of Jefferson wants to distribute 85%. 85% is more than 75%, so that would be an increase as well as the property tax, going from 60 to 100. Federal income tax, currently the state of California is receiving back 88%, and of that, the state of California takes about 25% or 22 of the 88, and they distribute about 66% back to the counties. State of Jefferson, though, will be a new state, a small state, and there are, in most of the states, 45 states in the country, actually get more than 100% of what its residents pay in federal income tax back to their states. States like New Hampshire, like Nevada or New Mexico, they don't get 100%. They get closer to 140%. Steve estimates that based upon our being a new state, once we have our constitutional convention, we won't be getting 88% back from the federal government. We'll be getting 140% back. And of that, 85%, instead of 75% of the lower number, will be coming back to the counties. So that's a big increase. The sales tax and gas tax are the way that he's looking at it. He feels that it could stay about the same. So currently, the state of California is distributing back about 33% to the counties of the sales tax and about 50% of the gas tax. So those are the revenue sources. And if you've got the spreadsheet open and you look at the right side of the spreadsheet, you'll see those different column headings that show property tax, state and federal income tax, sales tax, and gas tax. And then below those, adjacent on the row for the county name, which is way to the left, you'll see the amounts that have been reported by government agencies that would be the share of income those counties would have from those various sources. The final column way to the right is the total of those sources. And for instance, in Shasta County, that amounts to around $830 million. Okay? That's what Shasta County would have to work with. Now, you got to flip back to the other side of the page. And on the other side of the page, you'll notice that the first column there, about the third or fourth column, says total county revenue source. That number is the same as the column in the right. All that Steve did was bring the number over and put it on the left.
So essentially what you're saying at the end of the day is, in the most part, that the counties actually generate more revenue than they receive back from the state of California, correct?
Well, okay, that's a little complicated depending on every county's situation.
I understand there's some counties that don't.
The counties in generally are receiving back more than they're sending. But the sources are not just from the state of California. This is where it's confusing. For instance, when the federal government sends money to the state of California for Caltrans, and then the state of California distributes to the counties thinks the money's coming from the state of California, but it's coming from the federal government. That's what Steve was pointing out. He's trying to explain that the sources of the money are not just from the state of California. They're actually from the citizens, because when we pay our state and federal income tax, that money, a lot of it, comes back to the state of California. But they have a little process called administrative fees that they like to skim the money off the top.
But the federal tax dollars, which California is a surplus contributor to,
yes,
is our money that's coming back to us as well.
That's right. We are one. California is one of five states that, because we send so much federal income tax money to Washington, that they don't give us back 100%. They only currently are giving back 88%. But because they're not giving us 100%, that extra 12% that they're keeping, they're distributing across the rest of the country to states that don't have enough revenue from their own federal income tax revenues going to the federal government. It's called income distribution. You may have heard of that before.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is done on a massive basis between the federal and state governments, and it's staggeringly large. But it is the money that is coming back to the counties that you live in, Shasta or Trinity or whatever. That money that you pay in federal income tax is your money. It doesn't come from the state. It comes from the federal government. You know, the money that's sent back to the state of California. That's the way it works. The sales tax, when you go buy something, and the state of California collects the sales tax, and then they return to you 33%, that's your money. That's not their money. That's your money. When you buy a gallon of gasoline and you pay 52 cents a gallon in tax, and they keep half of it, or 26 cents, and the other 26 cents they send back to the county. That's not their money, that's your money. Yeah. You are paying the money they are giving you back.
So when an elected official looks at you across the table and says, we could never make it without the money that California gives us, is basically they're saying we're comfortable with being bribed with our own wallet.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's a bait and switch. The ostensibly thing is that the state of California is not a what we call an ideal financial model. There's no state in the country that would use California as a way to run anything, okay? I mean, it's almost incomprehensible how they are still paying their funded liabilities, let alone their unfunded liabilities.
I'm not sure they are.
We're not going to get into that level of minutia because that would blow everybody's mind, and we want them to be sane still at the end of the program. Okay? Are you with me so far?
We are. We're trying to...
Yeah, I know. I know it's a little hard because we're talking about numbers, but just think of the concept. The money that you're sending to everybody, the state and the federal government, for property tax, income tax, sales tax, gas tax, they're now turning around and giving back to you, except that they skim some off the top. There's a group in New York that's called, I think it's called what? Is it called the Mafia?
Yes.
What do? Well, they skim money off the top. They go in and give you protection money.
There you go.
And their protection is from themselves. Mm-hmm. So the problem we've got is that most people do not understand where the money comes from, and they think it magically just is created out of the state of California and is given to the counties, and without that, the counties are helpless. And that's not true. Those revenue sources are not going to change if we are the state of Jefferson, because you know the other 49 states? They have the same revenue sources, except for states that don't have an income tax or a sales tax, or both. Mm-hmm. So the same sources of money come to every county in the United States of America unless the state doesn't have a sales tax or an income tax. If they don't, then they only have three sources. They have property tax, they have sales tax, and gas tax. Now, the cool thing about Jefferson, which I think is inspired, I think... Mark and Steve are just more than inspired about this, is the first thing we're going to do is we're going to eliminate corporate income tax. Corporate income tax. That means that if Bechtel wants to move to Northern California and be in Jefferson, they won't have to pay any corporate income tax when they make any income or profit. What do you think Bechtel might do if they got tired of the taxes and regulations of California and decided, you know what, we want to move to state of Jefferson? Why? Because there's plenty of room to build, and as soon as we start building our building to have people, we're going to have to find places for them to live.
And there's an
in-place construction's going to start, and utilities are going to increase, and the tax base is going to go up, and everybody's going to be better off because we're not charging corporations income tax.
Exactly.
That is going to blow California's pea brain.
What do businesses do when they realize a profit? They expand.
Well, they can take it and they can put it into building whatever their business is. Mm-hmm. If it's an engineering business like Bechtel, they can hire more people from India that can become U.S. citizens. Okay, and when those people become U.S. citizens, they will pay U.S. income tax and state income tax.
How about hiring people that live in Jefferson first?
Well, yeah, but the problem we have in Jefferson, and this is not the people in Jefferson who are still here's problem or fault, but a lot of people are leaving these areas, Northern California, state of Jefferson, because they can't find jobs.
Yeah, they moved to Texas. Now they need to come home.
That is our biggest bleed,
sure.
Is lack of economy.
Texas is a great model for what you should do. California is a bad model for what you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, it's not rocket science. If you and we got five governors in the United States, in Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, Virginia, and Florida, that were Republican governors that all reduced the tax rates, which is what we're talking about with corporate income tax, go to zero. And you know what? They didn't do that exactly that way, but by lowering the income taxes in their respective states, and then letting the state employees have attrition, people die, and people retire, then they got their budgets under control.
Or the private industry or private sector becomes attractive again because it's actually competitive with government.
There you go.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. Now, I want to just cover a couple more points, and then I'll let people ask questions, or you can
We've got to sneak off to a break here, and we'll grab those on the other side, Richard.
That's fine. Not a problem.
Okay. And if you guys have any questions or comments, you can get a hold of us at 530-605-4567.
It's getting eerie quiet, won't stay like this for long. Even the crows start flying, they know what's going on. You could tell by the red sky, there's something brewing. You had your chance to run and hide. I guess you blew. The clouds are turning gray. Better pray for your saving grace. It's just a little too late.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Playing ball is a fun and healthy activity. Unfortunately, the cost of organized sports participation is out of reach of many children. Artwood and Play Ball Foundation's mission is to increase local youth sports participation through education, providing equipment, and fee assistance. Join us Saturday, August 27th at 10 a.m. for the Home Run Derby fundraiser at Big League Dream Sports Park, sponsored in part by Tugwell Roofing. Admission is free and includes a kids' venue, raffle prizes, concessions, and good old-fashioned home run hitting. For more information, visit us on Facebook or call 440-4211.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi. I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar Energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600 or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar. Maybe able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind, where we're discussing financials here with Richard Seal and some things. We took a couple of quick calls by the break. Somebody wanted to talk about last week real quickly when we were talking about CalPERS being insolvent. Is that true? Yes. We've been calling CalPERS a dead man walking for about 3 years. They have officially choked on the way to the gas chamber. They're laying in the middle of the floor, dying and squirming. We think CalSTRS is next. We actually think CalSTRS is probably worse off than CalPERS is. But CalPERS, we've even had officials from CalPERS at this point admit that they're insolvent and that they've been defrauding investors. The other question was, is that does Shasta County get back about 60% of the property taxes because they thought it was 15%? It varies county to county. It's an amalgamated state of Jefferson average is about 60%, whereas Lassen County, I think, gets back like 13 cents on the dollar for their property tax. So it does vary county to county. And with that, we'll get back to Richard.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right. Now, when you look at the numbers on the left side of the spreadsheet, if you have it up on your screen right now at home, there's that column that says total revenue, and that's the money that's from the right-hand column. Then you have two more columns to the right. Now, one is the budget. Steve went out to the State of California website, got the information that each county has to report every year what the budget is. And so he put that in there. That's a negative. So you want to put a plus sign at the top of that yellow column that says total county revenue before other sources. Then the next column next to that is the K-12 numbers. The K-12 numbers are the money runs through the county for the paying the schools. The county's not directly responsible for it in a way because the money comes from the state and the federal government, but it does run through their books, so you have to show that on this chart. The last column, the fourth one on the right from that group, is the equals. That's what's left over, and you'll see that there's 14 counties that are in the black. I'm sorry, wait a minute. 9 counties that are in the black, and there are 14 that are in the red. Now, one of the commitments that Mark has made to me over and over is that day one, the state of Jefferson starts after the Constitutional Convention, or a real state, is that he's not going to go back to the counties and micromanage how they want to spend their money. He plans to make sure they get every nickel that they currently have budgeted for any expense, for any program that they're currently receiving money from the state of California or the federal government. That adds up, if you look at the spreadsheet in the, down at the bottom, to $771 million. That's the amount of money that the counties in this year, if it was, oh, you were already at the state, that the counties that are in the red would be short. But that's the aggregate amount is shortfall is going to be taken care of by the state of Jefferson. And if you go now all the way to the left side, where it says available state funds, that number is $2.1 billion. $2.1 billion. And that is after the county's expenses have already been paid, all of them. Regardless of whether they're in the black or the red, the black counties don't need any money from Jefferson, but the red counties will. And those counties will get their money, and that'll be $771 billion. And that's already paid when the state of Jefferson still has $2.1 billion left over. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to have to assume some share of the debt. Currently, the state of California is approximately estimating their state debt at $340 billion. Because we represent about 5% of the state population, our share of that, one way to negotiate it, could be around $16 billion. And if we paid that back to the state of California over the next 30 years, like you would a mortgage, that would be $560 million. Now, I know these are a lot of numbers, but if you take 560 and subtract it from $2.1 billion, you still end up with $1.6 billion that the state of Jefferson would have. Now, it's very interesting. Steve is not he's a pretty smart guy. He went around the country and looked at the different states that might have the same size and demographics that Jefferson would have. And guess what he found? He found the state of New Mexico. The state of New Mexico has the same land area, roughly, and the same demographics that Jefferson would have. But there's a difference. They only have 37 state agencies. Red, do you know how many state agencies the state of California has?
Yeah, I think about 530, 570-something.
Yeah, it's 572. Steve thinks we could save a little money if we didn't have 572 state agencies, but maybe only 37 or 50 or something smaller. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the model that we want to use is most of the administration services are going to be at the county level.
That's right.
We don't have to
micromanage Trinity County or Shasta County from the state of Jefferson. It's not required. It's not necessary. We can let the state of the counties operate the way they need to operate to serve the needs of their residents.
Absolutely. And yeah. As the budget shrinks due to a less need of feeding the bureaucracy, at the same time we're looking at the expansion of revenues due to the growth of the economy. So while we're actually shrinking our debt burden, we're increasing our revenue stream.
That's right. Now, one of the things that when I was at the Trinity County Fair yesterday, and I had, thank you very much from Shasta County, a lot of Shasta County residents helping us with our booth at the fair. One of the really good news is about the state of California letting us go is that they are not taking our timber right now, and they're not letting us, and they're not mining our ground, and they're not letting us, but they've already legally got control of our water. They own it in most regards, which we can't change. It's a contract. But the point is that if they send us off and let us go off and be our own state, they're not going to lose anything. In fact, they're actually going to make money. It's sort of like, do either of you guys got a child who you're still sending money to even though they're over 21?
No. Nope.
Okay, well, good. Let's pretend you did. And one day they called Mark or Red and said, listen, you don't need to send me the money anymore. Is that bad news or is that good news?
Very good news.
Well,
yeah. Well, if the state of California doesn't have to send Trinity County next year about $89 million, do you think that would be good news for California or bad news for California?
I think it'd be great news.
Yeah, yeah. But when it's an aggregate loss of $2.1 billion for the state of California, that's probably a problem for them.
No, you don't understand. In our county, for every dollar we send them, they send us back about four. Okay?
Yes.
So they are not going to lose
that's
out.
That's looking at an individual county basis.
Yeah, I'm just talking about Trinity County. I'm a resident of Trinity County. I'm not a resident of Shasta. Every county has a different calculation or a result. But in Trinity County, for every dollar we send them, they send us about $4. Now, they would save those $4 if they didn't have to send them to us. We would still get those $4, but we'd get them the way that California is getting them, but they would not be skimming off the top because they wouldn't be the state anymore. We would have the money. We would leave it in the counties. We would let the money that's left over generate the revenue for the state, so we'd end up with $1.6 billion. Everything would change for the better if California wasn't handling the money. That's the point.
There you go.
That's it.
It's not complicated. Even I understand it. You know, so it's something that if people in Northern California understood where the money really comes from, which is really right out of their pockets, and then it's siphoned through the state of California, but they sort of some sticks there, and then it comes back to their counties in various forms and grants and so forth, they would understand, oh my gosh, if we have control of it, maybe we could use it better. Maybe the model that California has financially, which is very, very dysfunctional, could be improved on, like almost easily.
So
it's
Richard,
not complicated.
So, Richard, at this point then, when we separate and we become our own state and we keep the money and we make our own decisions in each county on how we spend the money,
right?
That's in a nutshell what we're all about.
That's right. We okay. will be in the black day one.
Day one. Yep.
Day one.
Yep.
Because the sources of revenue that we're using, which are the model from California, but we're readjusting how we distribute.
And then after that, then how much more are we going to have in the black after we start releasing? Well, we're not going to know. We're not going to know.
Some of the numbers were earlier, a year or so ago, but so I haven't asked Steve about this recently. But when he did the numbers a year or so ago, and the number was closer to $2.1 billion that was net, he still thought we could have a surplus of about $1 billion. So I don't know what that current number is.
Right, and we won't know until we get the logging up and running like it needs to be, the mining up and running, and all the other things.
No. This is all pre that.
No. What I'm talking about is after that.
Yeah, after that, you're right. When the state of Jefferson now tells the federal government these counties has a health, a safety, and welfare issue with their residents because of the fuel loads. We have 200 tons of biomass per acre in Trinity County versus the 20 tons mm-hmm. that the Forest Service believes is appropriate that they told us in 1994 with the Northwest Forest Plan. We now have 10 times that fuel load. It's like you've been throwing your trash in your backyard for the last 20 years.
Well,
it just goes fires off and then everything burns. We have a fuel load problem, not a water problem.
Right.
We do have a rough ballpark idea of what it is just to get back to normal. Knowing that we're at 28% of the economy, we know
right.
that just at normal numbers, our economy could be 300% what it is now. Just getting back
yeah.
to normal.
Getting to normal, exactly.
Well, yeah, if we don't have the regulations
yep.
and the overreach of the state of California, if we eliminate corporate income tax, if
That's
we
right.
distribute more of what we do take in normal tax funds and give it back to the counties will all be substantially improved. It's not complicated.
There you go. See, and that's what I was trying to get at.
The question is, we've got to get the middleman out of there.
Yes.
And that middleman right now, who's skimming, is called the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they'll justify that we have to do all this stuff. I mean, everybody needs everything, and we have to help them have it.
Yep.
But that's not the American way. The American way is self-reliance. The American way is to get off your whatever and go out and do something.
Yep.
And if you can't because you had an accident and you're disabled, yeah, we'll help you along until you can recover. But we're not going to turn it into a lifestyle that you get money gratis forever for doing nothing. That's not functional.
That's right.
Nor is it sustainable or
right.
Well, that's the point.
And
we've
got to
get underneath so when the state of California collapses, we're not underneath it.
That's right.
We want to be it's sort of like you see a boulder coming down the hill. You want to step to the left so you can let it go by.
There you
go. If you stay there and it hits you, you're smashed. We've got to get out of the way of California failing because it's only a matter of time that their dysfunction is going to catch up with them.
There you go.
And when it does, I mean, I have very great sympathy for the county workers in Trinity County who work their butts off, and they've been promised things by their union leaders and by the county that are not sustainable. And it breaks my heart to realize one day they may wake up without any money in their account because CalPERS failed.
That day's here.
That's here. It's already here.
That is scarier than heck.
Yep.
And I keep telling my friends that are county workers, please start saving more money.
There you go.
Do that.
Hey, Richard,
all right, we're down to our last 20 seconds, Richard.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
All right, we want to thank you for being on the show, and thank you for joining the Jefferson State of Mind. We will see you guys next week. Until then, keep the sunny side up. And.